Hello and welcome to Ready for the Right Guy 5. I'm so happy that you're joining us at the beginning of this new year. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I have with me today a lovely returning guest, my dear friend, the wonderful Lisa Copeland. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Michelle. It's so nice to be back.
So nice to have you back. I always just love connecting with you and love what you have to share. So really thrilled to have you.
Thank you.
So, Lisa, I know so many of the women here will be familiar with you and your work, but just the same, we'll give a little brief intro before we jump right into talking about 6 dating success predictors for finding love after 50. And I know this is a really hot topic for a lot of the women here because there are some unique challenges, opportunities, and variation in experiences for women dating after 50 than for younger women. So I'm excited about this topic. So first of all, ladies, before we jump in, Lisa Copeland is a leading internationally recognized love coach and dating expert for women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. She inspires women who are struggling with dating to find true love in the second half of their life with a quality man. So Lisa, before we jump in, I may have touched on it just a little bit already, but tell me why you chose this particular topic to discuss today.
I chose it because so many women think, I'm just going to put a profile online and men will show up. And then when they don't show up, they get super frustrated and it makes them want to quit. And especially over 50, because then they start thinking there's no good guys out there. Nobody wants me. And it's just they're missing these other pieces that I help women with all the time.
Okay, good. Good. So kind of the if I build it, he will come idea with the profile, huh?
Yeah, well, I was that way. I remember when I first started dating and put my first profile up. And yeah, that's what I thought. But you never know who's going to show up is the problem.
Yeah, exactly. That can be an adventure for sure. So I know you have these 6 dating predictors. I'm having a hard time getting that word out, predictor.
Yeah, kind of a tongue twister.
Don't say that one fast 10 times, right? These 6 dating predictors for success for finding love after 50. So let's jump in and let's talk about some of these, shall we?
I'd love to.
So I know the first one for you, you said, is priorities. So tell me why you chose that one as number one.
Okay, so a lot of women, they want to find love with a good guy, but what they're not doing is making it a priority. And when you go back into your life and you look at the things you truly wanted, you'll find that you made them all a priority if it was something you really wanted. And I hear women say to me all the time, I just don't have time to date. Mm-hmm. If you don't have time to date, that's okay. Then don't ask, you know, then you don't want to have a guy come into your life. And you can't say I failed at it or whatever. You just didn't try is what it is. You have to make it a priority if you want a guy to come in your life. You can't just think that they're going to fall out of the sky. So you want to devote time really daily to be doing something about dating. And a lot of women will also say to me, by the way, oh, my grandkids or my kids or my pet or my parents. One of the things we forget to do as women is to take care of our needs first. If we don't charge ourselves up, we're not going to be able to really help others. And when we put ourselves at the bottom, you're going to turn around someday and you're going to say, oh my God, why did I do that? Why didn't I give to myself? And it's so that's why making dating a priority is so important. You have to have the time to date. You have to have the time to write online, to be out in the real world, to talk to men wherever you are. You just got to make the time.
Yeah, and it's kind of the analogy of, you know, putting your own oxygen mask on first in the airplane. And I think this is a challenge for women in this stage of life because we're pulled in a lot of different directions. I mean, you and I were talking right before we started. You know, I've had some caretaking things with my mom recently passing and now with my dad. And then women that have children or grandchildren can be pulled in those directions. You may still be in the middle of a career. I mean, we're just pulled in a lot of different directions. And I think those are important priorities for sure. But you do have to make sure you're at the very top of your own priority list, putting that own oxygen mask on first and creating and making time. And I like your point that if you look back in your life, you have made time for those things that are most important and essential to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. So I think this is a really important one. I'm glad you started there. So the second one you mentioned is beliefs. And I think this is a really big one too. Tell us a little more about this.
So a big thing that happens, and it's a protection mechanism to feel okay, is we start creating beliefs about dating. Either there's no men out there, online dating is terrible, the good guys aren't online, nobody's gonna want me, all those types of things, especially women as they're aging feel like nobody's going to want them. That's not true. But when we put that belief out there, actually what we're doing is we're vibrating from that belief. Mm-hmm. And then it gets harder and harder to draw people in because the brain has a funny way of pointing evidence to what it believes. The brain likes to be right. So you want to choose, am I going to focus on no one out there, or am I going to look at an online dating site and I'm going to say, oh my God, there's lots of men on there? It's a choice of where you want to focus, because when you have those types of limiting beliefs that I mentioned earlier, a great question to ask yourself is, what is this costing me holding on to this belief? And what it costs you is your dream of finding the right man to share your life with. And that's how beliefs can get in the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a really important one. These beliefs can become self-fulfilling prophecies. We begin to gather evidence to back up whatever our beliefs are, and we do vibrate, you know, vibrationally and energetically. We put out there into the world what our beliefs are. It reminds me of you and I work with a lot of women in this same age group, you know, 40s through 60s. And I was having a conversation with one of my clients recently who is in her early 60s. And she was telling me that she'd been feeling invisible when it came to men for so long. Like, she just said, I feel like no one even notices or sees me. And I think a lot of women feel that way in this age bracket that we're all in here. But yeah, So many of us are in here. And, but she, you know, we've been working on her confidence. We've been working on some of her beliefs, and she's dressing a little bit nicer. She's taking a little bit more care with her appearance. And she's started noticing that men are now noticing her. She's having more opportunities for interactions, and she's having a lot of fun in the real world. And this is just all based on a shift in a belief in what's possible.
That's right. And a huge belief that women have is men only want women who are younger.
Right.
And men are visual. So you said an important point there about women changing, you know, how they look. Maybe I call it dating updating. And we oftentimes don't. We get used to where we are and we just stay the same. And men are very visual. They will look at lots of ages of women's pictures. So you really do want to feel, you know, want to kind of gussy yourself up a little bit or change. You know, I think my mother used to say, oh, it's gussying up, but, you know, in a good way, in a way that makes you feel better about yourself. And then that comes out. Yes. And then men do notice you. And some men will always want younger women. You don't want them anyway, because you just don't. They're looking, that's an ego thing for them. It's like having eye candy. Usually younger women who are attracted to older men, it's because that man is super wealthy or super powerful in some way, or they have a daddy issue. A lot of women who have a daddy issue also want to be with older men. But otherwise, most younger women say, that's like dating my grandpa. You know, it's not, they don't necessarily want it. But when we believe that, then we also become more invisible in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the third one is knowing your own value and having confidence. And we kind of touched on that a little bit already, but say a little more about that.
I'd love to. I once had a client who came to me and we were working on her confidence. And I said, on a scale of 0 to 10, where is your confidence in the real world? She said, oh, like a 9 or a 10. She felt really good about her job, where she was in life. And then I said, well, what about with men and dating? And she said, I think a -5. And I said, whoa. I mean, she was really pretty too. And it's, you know, we worked on getting her confidence in place, helping her remember her value. When we're single, nobody is saying your value to you. And you are the one that really has to pull it back in. So when I work with clients, we dive deep into remembering how awesome, you know, you really are. And I did that with her. And then at the end of that, I said, okay, where is your confidence level with about yourself with men and dating now? And she said, you know what? It's about an 8 or 9, because she had so forgotten how amazing she was. So confidence is so important, because when you feel good about yourself, first of all, men like confident women. They really do. And secondly, you glow. You want to get passionate about your life, and you want to glow from that. Take classes you love. Do things that you love every day. And men are so drawn to that, because you're filling up your soul. You're feeling good about who you are. And that comes out in your pictures and in your profiles and when you actually meet men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one is a really, really big one. And when a woman knows her own value, the other huge benefit, in addition to the ones you've already mentioned, is she's not going to settle for someone that doesn't treat her well, who's not showing up well for her. You know, she's not going to settle for those men that are just really not ready to be in the kind of relationship that she wants. She's no longer going to be willing to settle, because she's going to have that knowledge of her own value from within that is not dependent upon what's happening on the outside or what man is or isn't showing up.
Right. And when you don't know your own value, can I give you an example of that? What happens? I've seen this happen with a lot of clients, and they'll come in and we'll really create, which is one of the success predictors too. I call it a quality man template to get a clear vision of the right man. And so I will ask them what's important in their life right now. And many times, you know, we'll get into financial issues, because women want a man who's financially okay. But many successful women will say to me, no, I don't really care about that. And what happens is they end up taking on the guy and his issues and all of that, because they don't feel their value inside of feeling worthy of that, especially when they're successful. Many times they think, I'm successful. Does the universe have enough for all of us? You know, or maybe some, you know, I should be helping a guy along, or maybe he'll be able to contribute in some other way. That sometimes works, you know, when they can contribute in other ways, but it has to be a lot. And then when you feel your value, you can draw in someone to you who is as valuable or more valuable. You really, you know, that you, because you feel worthy of it. You feel like, oh my God, I deserve having what I want. I don't have to settle because of that.
Right, right. It's huge. Okay, so the next predictor is having a clear vision. And I think you just touched on that a little bit too. But having a clear vision about your own life, about what it is you really want, about the kind of man you want. Say a little more about that.
I'd be happy to, after I drink from my big turbo cup.
Okay. You gotta have a drink from the turbo cup.
It's like a Turbis cup. It's the biggest cup in the world, but it keeps the ice cold.
So, I love it. That's great.
Except it doesn't look so great on camera, because right here it probably looks bigger than me. Wait a second. So anyway, a clear vision of a man. When I used to go out and date, I didn't know what the heck I was doing in my 40s, or, you know, I had just come out of a 24-year marriage, and I really just didn't know what I was doing. After I took some time to heal, I did go online. And back then, online dating had just started. And people would say, you're online? You know, today it's very mainstream.
Right.
But back then, it wasn't. And we whispered about it. So I remember putting a profile online. And at that time, too, anybody could look at profiles. You did not have to have a profile up to look at profiles. So people could come on and just look around. And my ex-husband came on, apparently, and he read my profile and he wrote me a text or email back then and said, you know, you're looking for me again. And I said, no, but yes, because we're oftentimes looking for the past relationship that we were in. It's familiar to us. And we have a certain type that feels good to us. I used to love arrogant, narcissistic men. I liked their arrogance because they were super intelligent. I could have done without the narcissism, but I loved that these guys, they could make my mind just sing in a way because I love that intellectual stimulation. But over time, I started to notice a pattern that these men were all about themselves and I wasn't staying in relationships with them because I was not happy. Once I became aware of that, I realized what I really wanted was a man who was humble yet successful. And that's exactly who is in my life. And, you know, he would do anything for me. So getting a clear vision of the right man is so important. Because you need to know who you're looking for. Because most people hold on to the vision of who they wanted from when they were in their 20s. And it didn't work the first time. It's probably not going to work the second if they've been divorced. And when it comes to people that are widowed, women that are widowed, they're usually looking for the good points of their ex. And that is good. And then they can add on to that. What else is important to them now and today in this, you know, where they are today at their age? Because as we age, we also want to get support, you know, emotional support from a man. And we want to play and we want to have fun. So one of the things that often happens when women are looking for a good guy is they pick a quality that I call a perceived high value quality. So let's say it's they want someone that's super active that they can bike ride with and hike with, and that becomes so important to them. And what they do is they attract it. Of course, they attract that kind of guy. And then they think, yes, he's the one because he has that high value quality. But that doesn't make him the one because he could be missing your values. He could have your deal breakers. You may not feel that great around him, but you're jamming that square peg into the round hole because that quality is so important to you. And then you end up failing again. That's why a clear vision is important. You can see more men that are possible for you, and you have a much broader thing to go by than a high value quality to decide if he's the one. Mm-hmm. That's important. You can see him better. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think going along with this vision of the man is having a clear vision about some of the other things we were talking about here, your own values, your own, what's really important to you in life, and really how that all works together in terms of what a relationship would look like. Because priorities are different. What we want and need oftentimes in our 20s, 30s, even into our early 40s are different than when we're later on in life. And some of these things we may not have thought about before when we made that list way back then. And I think we can, like you said, we can kind of get stuck in a time warp with our looks and not updating our looks. We can also kind of get stuck in a time warp with what we think we wanted.
Yeah, for sure. Also, the other thing is we date oftentimes with this clear vision like we did when we were younger. And that is an instant attraction in chemistry, which is based on really hunting for a spouse who can give you a child that will be healthy, which comes from the caveman days. So a lot of women go into dating today, and that is the main thing they're looking for, is instant attraction and chemistry. And they go online and they see these men that look older and they go, oh my God, this looks like my dad or my grandpa. And the thing is we don't recognize we've aged as well. But if you go into some events, like if you go to a concert, like the Eagles concert, or you go in there, you're going to see a lot of people our age, and you look around and you go, oh, that's kind of like eye-opening. Wow, we all sort of look this way. We just don't see it because we color our hair, you know, and stuff. But it's, so when you're going in for instant attraction, you think someone else looks so much older, they go, no, no, no. And you're missing really good guys. Attraction and chemistry can build for a woman. Mm-hmm. That's something that can really build. You don't have to have it immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really good point. It's kind of like going to your class reunion, you know, 20, 25, 30, 40 years later. Mm-hmm. And you kind of look around and go, wow, these people are old. Sure glad that didn't happen to me.
Because well, my son's kind of
ourselves in here, right?
Yeah. And my son sort of put me in my place with that many years ago before Facebook. I got an email with high school reunion pictures. And I called my son up and I said, how old do you think these people are? Because I thought they looked like grandparents. He said, maybe late 40s, early 50s. And I said to him, do I look that age? And he said, no comment, Mom. And we don't see ourselves in the age group because we like to think of ourselves as young, which is great because that's going to build back your inner glow because you're active and all of that. But when you're knocking guys out online for looking too old, in real life, their energy might be totally different. And that is why you need a really comprehensive way to identify the right man beyond attraction, chemistry, or a perceived high value quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. Really important stuff there. Okay, so the next one is dating blueprint.
Yes. Well, most women rely today on online dating because, like I mentioned, it's mainstream. But it's also very frustrating. It has highs and lows. You have to have the right profile so scammers don't come knocking on your door. And it's tough. It's tough. Everybody's making snap decisions based on pictures. And when you meet that same person in real life, he could be amazing because you're seeing his personality, like I mentioned before, mixing with his looks, and it can be totally different. So online dating is an awesome way to date, but you need to have other ways. Meeting men in real life is really important. Get out there and talk to men and flirt and laugh, and don't worry about if they're single or not. Just get the practice in of talking to men everywhere you are. And the other two are I call dating fairy godmothers. This is a little harder, but you can get your friends, anyone you know, start asking them, do you know someone? The biggest problem with that is married people do not usually hang around with a lot of single people. So they often don't know, but like you may go to a service place like your hairdresser or your dentist or, you know, someone that might know, you never know. They might know someone. So it's important to ask and keep asking, not every day, but like every 6 weeks, because they forgot, you know, you go out of their radar. Everybody's really got their own thing going on. And then the fourth way to meet men is through a matchmaker. But I have found that women that are successful with a matchmaker have a clear vision. Otherwise, they get ticked off at the matchmaker and they don't, because they're not having the instant attraction, they're not having the chemistry, and they're saying, oh, he's just like pushing dart, you know, throwing darts and seeing where they land it to fix you up with. So that's where these pieces all fit together, is that clear vision is so important, because with a matchmaker, you need it too. So that's the four ways. And a dating blueprint, you want to work two all at the same time, because one will frustrate you to no end. And my clients, they tell me, oh my God, I've had clients that say to me, I can't go online. I'm not photogenic. It doesn't work. And, you know, I taught them how to flirt. I taught them what to say to men in real life. And this one woman, she walked in the license bureau. She looked around. She scoped the room. She saw a guy just sitting there. She went and talked to him, he became her husband. It can happen. That's why you talk to everybody. But yeah, you need at least two ways at all times to be meeting men.
Yeah, that's very good. Okay, and then the last one, I think this kind of encompasses all of it, is kind of taking action.
Definitely. Because if you don't do anything to make it this your dream happen, nothing's going to happen. You know, we may want that guy to fall out of the sky. And the way he falls out of the sky is you being out in places where people are, or being online where men are. That's how they fall out of the sky. Mm-hmm. And this can kind of go to the law of attraction. A lot of people think, oh my gosh, you know, if I think it, it's going to come true. But you can think it, but you have to put something behind it. So you really want to go through those six predictors and start taking them one step at a time and take action on each one. Be really careful about overwhelming yourself, though. You want baby steps, because most people want to take the leap. Like, I remember going on dates and I would think, oh my God, this could be the one, this could be the one. And what we're doing is we're taking the leap versus going through all the stages to get to what it is that what we want. Because by ourselves, it's pretty hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think there's a lot of women that are kind of taking the I hope I'm discovered approach mm-hmm. to dating. And you think about that, if you were wanting to get a job, for example, you wouldn't sit home and think, I hope someone discovers me for my next job.
Right.
If no one really even knows that you're available, or if you're not out there in a way where you can be seen, you're not going to be discovered. And so even if you believe in kind of serendipity, or you believe in being things happening in a, you know, from a spiritual perspective, that you're having divine guidance or that sort of thing, it still is what I've found when I've talked to people that feel like they've met someone in more of a serendipitous kind of way. It's still been because they were out there in places where they could be seen, where they right. could be discovered. And so even if they didn't go to wherever they went, that they happened to meet someone with that intention in mind, they were still in places where they could meet someone, where they could attract someone. So right. I think this being in action is really important. And having support in these areas can be really, really important. I know I didn't meet and attract my husband until I got some support in this area. And so even if you're successful and smart and have figured everything out in other areas of your life, and that's all going well, if this is an area you've been stuck for a long time, consider getting some support. This is a great time at the beginning of the new year.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a whole new beginning. The past is behind.
It's also a time where you're really thinking about what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that support and that accountability will keep you going in June and July when you stop thinking so much about what you want. You know, it's like the gym effect. They say that a mm-hmm. zillion people come to the gym in January and then it tapers off. If we don't have baby steps that we're taking along the way, or next steps, because we don't know our own next steps, we're too emotionally attached to it, to our destination, which is the guy. And you can still have next steps and you can keep moving along this journey. And it takes time. It really does take time. And it takes learning a lot about yourself and what you want. And if you can see it as an adventure of meeting new and interesting people and just having fun with this versus I have to find the one, I have a time deadline. That really, if you feel that on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being feeling great and 1 being feeling crappy, probably makes you feel like a 1 when you say I'm in a timeline, I have to do this now, versus when you say, you know what, I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to meet new and interesting men and I get to choose how they fit in my life. That's powerful. That goes to a 5 right away. Can you feel that energy changing with that?
Mm-hmm,
yeah, absolutely. It's a huge thing.
Yeah, it is. So Lisa, this has been great. This has been lots of fun. Thank you so much for laying out these steps. And I know you have this wonderful free gift called The Successful Women's Guide to Finding Mr. Right. And everyone, Lisa will tell us a little bit about it, but you can get it by clicking on the link underneath the audio or video that you're watching or listening from. So share a little bit about it, if you will, Lisa.
I'd love to. In this guide, I'm going to share my profile template that men have taught me for how to attract the right man. I'm also going to share some first date questions so you feel more comfortable. And I'm just going to share ways that are going to keep you inspired and motivated and taking action to be out there dating and having fun.
Yeah, that sounds so great. And you know, kind of a theme of this event thus far has been finding joy in the journey and having fun. So I'm so grateful that you touched on that, because yes, while you may really desire to have partnership and someone in your life to share your life with, and that's a wonderful, wonderful intention and blessing to have in your life, finding joy and satisfaction in your life along the way on the journey is so important too. And it's really been a theme throughout the conversations of this event. So I'm grateful that's coming forward so powerfully, because it's so important.
Yeah, it is important. Otherwise, it could be a big drag.
Exactly. Exactly.
Down. So have fun. Have fun.
Exactly. Well, Lisa, it's been so much fun to connect with you, and thank you so much for sharing so generously. Everybody, be sure to get Lisa's free gift on the link below, and also scroll down and check out the VIP package, which will give you unlimited ongoing access to all of the interviews from this event, as well as some great bonuses. And Lisa and I are both wishing you a happy new year.
Happy new year.
And sending you lots of love, and we'll see you for more of Ready for the Right Guy. Bye-bye for now.